Hi, my name is Father Boniface Hicks, and welcome to Redeemer. Let us take up the posture of littleness in this year of St. Joseph.
Hello and welcome to a special season of Redeemer. I'm your host, Javier Plume, and with me is Adam Novotny. Adam, what's up?
Hey, Javier. Good evening.
Been good?
Are you waiting for it? We're back. Uh-huh. That's what he's waiting for.
That's a signature line.
There you go.
Also glad to have Holly. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Javier. Happy to be here with all of you.
Glad to have you. And we have a very special guest on today's show. Adam, you want to do the introductions?
I'm very pleased to welcome our friend, Father Boniface Hicks, who's a Benedictine monk of the St. Vincent Archabbey. He's the general manager, programming manager, and on-air host of We Are One Body Catholic Radio, and he's the director of spiritual formation at St. Vincent Seminary. He's also a very popular speaker and retreat master and teacher, and we really wanted to have him on now to talk about his latest book on St. Joseph, Through the Heart of St. Joseph. So I'm very pleased to welcome Father Boniface Hicks.
Well, thank you for having me. So wonderful to be with you. It was great to be with you the first time, and I'm sure it'll be great to be with you the second time.
I think in a particular way, the reason why we wanted to have you on this time is because of your wonderful new book on St. Joseph, Through the Heart of St. Joseph. And this season of the podcast, we're really dedicating all the episodes of the season to St. Joseph, and thought that you would be really kind of the premiere and the kickoff, because you clearly have a heart for knowing this saint and wanting to bring him to the world. And this year that Pope Francis has declared the year of St. Joseph is particularly important, I think, because St. Joseph really is could be the answer to all of society's ills, right? That we can look to him for all of the things that we are lacking, and he will bring us closer to the truth and closer to the heart of his son, Jesus.
So we're on the St. Joseph bandwagon and want to help get the word out. And obviously your book is beautiful. But even before jumping to the book, like, I want to even back up further, because the year was declared. Obviously, you were inspired to write the book, but even if we back up further and talk about devotion to saints. So I was wondering if you might want to just speak a little bit about, in general, devotion to saints, and then maybe even some of the ones you have particular devotion to.
Yeah, well, I'm just so happy that you're dedicating so much attention to St. Joseph. And I really agree with you, Holly, that he is he's God's response, and especially in this time, to a lot of the particular things that we're struggling with in this time. And so it's really beautiful that Pope Francis has called for this year of St. Joseph, and that we're able to enter more deeply into an awareness of who he is, who he can be in our own spiritual lives, and what he can do for our society. And with saints in general, we see in the saints the best interpretation of the gospel. So the saints are kind of the proof in the pudding that the gospel actually works. When you live the gospel, the result is you look like these men and women whom we honor and have honored throughout the ages. They all look a little different because they're formed in different cultures and different times. They have to face different troubles in their lives. They have different states of life. But they're all holy, and that means that they've really internalized the gospel. They've allowed the divine logic, the logos, who is with the Father in the beginning and through whom all things were made, they've allowed the logos to penetrate their very being and to be the logic that guides their whole lives. And so having devotion to the saints, first of all, is just a matter of seeing what it looks like and encouraging us to also take the plunge into living this life of the gospel. But at the same time, the saints are real people and they continue to be alive, even though they have died and gone before us. They're more fully in the body of Christ than even those who are in the same room with us. And so there are many ways that although that they're less accessible to our senses, they're more accessible to our spirit. They're more real, we might say, because they're fully alive in Christ. And so we turn to them as special friends. There seems to be a kind of constellation of personalities that form something like religious families, but then we have sort of spiritual families that form in the communion of saints, and we pick them, but they also pick us, and we form these friendships, which are already stretching into our, hopefully, our future destination into the life of God in heaven. And so those imitations that we would see like a painting then pop out and become three-dimensional as we cultivate friendships and find strength from those saints that play a special role in our lives. And one of the things in this year of St. Joseph that Pope Francis is telling us, really 150 years later than Pius IX already told us this, Pope Francis is saying that everybody has a father in St. Joseph. So St. Joseph has chosen everybody as a son or a daughter, and he's the patron of the universal church. And so you can be certain that if you look to a father there, St. Joseph won't turn you away.
I think that's a beautiful reminder, especially when we see so many questions or the challenges of fatherlessness, you know, and we see that just kind of across the board, whether it's dads who work so much that their kids don't really have a sense of their being present to them, or dads who just are not present to them, and that St. Joseph can become not just a spiritual friend, but in, even in the book you talked about how he can reparent us and refather us and kind of draw us to that place that we were first created, right? This to be a son or daughter.
Yeah, and you point to some of the more extreme and notable cases, fatherlessness, really in a large sense, and that's certainly a significant problem. And there are those who grew up without a father really present in their lives and who have found a father in St. Joseph. But all of us had imperfect fathers, wonderful as they may have been with the beautiful ways they formed us, all of them had some holes in them. They weren't perfect images of God the Father. And so there are ways that we're left either because our Father wasn't there 24 hours a day to protect us, and we had experiences that we don't know how to integrate, some traumas that we've experienced. And there can be ways that inviting St. Joseph into some of those places, we can allow ourselves again to be a little child, because in order to really be little, we need to have a father and a mother. And certainly we're not leaving Mary out in any of this discussion, but to have a father in Saint Joseph and a mother in Mary, and that gives us what we need to be little children, to be in a posture of discovery and freedom, and to not have to have all the answers. And it gives us permission to be afraid and anxious and overwhelmed. And we know that we have someone that we can cry out to, that we can look to. And so I think St. Joseph, as you say, especially in our time where there is such an epidemic of fatherlessness, he fills the hole for a lot of people. But for all of us, we can use a little more fatherhood. Teresa of Avila is one of the major promoters of St. Joseph. She was kind of a watershed moment in the history of devotion to St. Joseph. And she had a wonderful father, but her father died. And she just found this closeness with St. Joseph. It was almost like her father, and the wonderful way that he was, stood between her and St. Joseph. And when he died and maybe took a little bit more background, St. Joseph came to the forefront, and she discovered what an incredible father she has in St. Joseph. And so even those of us who have been blessed with wonderful fathers can really find a lot in a devotion to St. Joseph.
Obviously, you wrote the book after the Pope declared this year of St. Joseph, right? So you were inspired to write it after he declared it, or was this already on your heart?
No, I was writing it for about 4 years, actually. I just finally got motivated to finish it when he declared the year of St. Joseph, which came rather out of the blue. I don't know anybody who knew that this was coming. December 8th, we woke up and it was the year of St. Joseph. And because of the pandemic, our school ended a little bit early before Thanksgiving. And so I had a little longer Christmas break, and I reached out to Emmaus Road, and they were kind enough to say, yeah, if you get us a full manuscript by whatever date, you know, we could get it out in time for the solemnity. And I thought, good, that's exactly the end. I needed something to kind of drive me to completion. I had about 75% written. I had the other 25% in note form, at least outline form. And so it gave me the reason to really focus on bringing it to conclusion. And yeah, happy with how that developed.
Well, that makes more sense, because I couldn't figure out how you got it out so quickly, but it makes sense you were already working on it. But you must have felt like that was wonderful confirmation that here you are working on this book, and the Pope declares this year for St. Joseph. You must have felt like you were right in the heart of God's will.
I was just delighted that he would do that. I certainly picked up on the increase in devotion. My own story with St. Joseph is really my personal story, more than being caught up in a kind of movement, because I was kneeling in front of a statue of him. I was kneeling in a chapel and looking up, and there was a statue of him in front of me. And I just realized, I don't really know him. And I had gone through this when I originally became Catholic with Our Lady, because I really didn't know her when I entered into the church. And I knew that there was some controversy because I had evangelical friends. And I just asked her, I said, Mary, I don't know you. I want to, please help me. And just a whole lot of things came together to help me develop a really warm and tender devotion to Our Lady. And I just had kind of the same experience as St. Joseph. I was looking at that statue and I just said, I don't know you, but I want to, help me. And then the next thing, I was assigned to the parish of St. Joseph for my diaconate year. And then some other connections came together there that gave me a chance to preach the solemnity of St. Joseph a year or two into priesthood. And then one of the Benedictines at my monastery discovered a little book by Andrew Doze called The Shadow of the Father. It's a different one than Pope Francis mentions in his letter on St. Joseph, but with a number of beautiful insights. And that seized my imagination. That was a kind of crystallizing moment for me that helped me to put some flesh on St. Joseph. And he began to move off of a one-dimensional, certainly into a two-dimensional, starting to be into a three-dimensional space for me. And then I just really kept praying to him and reading about him and trying to cultivate a real sense of his presence and a relationship with him, which is what I primarily wanted. And over a number of years, I started talking about him so much that people said, you should write a book on St. Joseph. And I thought, well, so I made a retreat at some point about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and just dedicated the whole retreat to praying with St. Joseph, praying with some of the scriptures. And then began to bring together some of the text and started forming some chapters. But the focus of the book is not so much exploring all of the theoretical issues. I'm actually, as we record this podcast, I'm in the middle of teaching a course on St. Joseph for consecrated religious. And we just spent 2 hours looking at Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25 on St. Joseph's doubt and all of the different theories. And there's a lot of fun stuff that I like to do there. But I wanted to focus the book on how do we develop a relationship with him? I want people to know him. I don't want just people to know all of the kind of interesting tidbits and controversies and back and forth. And I try to stay away from a little bit of that, there's a lot of wrestling over, is he young? Is he old? Is he, is he a virgin? Was he a married man? Is he these kinds of things? And I'm not as, those are important questions, but I think all of that stuff starts to bring out qualities in him, which are important for us. And so anyway, the focus of the book is really on developing a relationship with him and then kind of asking, like, what do I need to do to develop a relationship with him? How do I adjust my heart so that I can be more in tune with him, more open to his love and his presence?
Holly was talking about how society can learn a lot from St. Joseph, and that a devotion to him, an understanding of him and the qualities that we can pick up from him will really help us in society. But my question was, why do you think this is happening now? And there's a confluence of different events that all seem to be coming together. But I was just curious why you think, you know, the Lord inspired the Holy Father to do this day and now.
Well, it's kind of several waves. I mean, at the very beginning of the church, there's certainly awareness about St. Joseph, and you have St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, St. Basil. I mean, there's a host of the fathers of the church that deal with some of the critical scriptural texts, you know. So there's an awareness of who he is. I mean, praising his virtues, admiring him. But there's not really a devotion. I mean, there's not really a devotion to the Blessed Mother that develops until a couple hundred years into the church's life. I mean, our focus is, of course, on the Trinity, and then we take emanations out from the Trinity. And so, first of all, Our Lady, and then that was really the church's focus for a long time. There's a little surge in the Middle Ages, St. Bernard. There's a first feast of St. Joseph around 1000 AD, and then St. Bernard, and then St. Bernardine of Siena, and Jean Gerson, and in the 12th, 13th, 14th centuries. And then, as I said, Teresa of Avila is a real watershed of devotion, and St. Francis de Sales has a tremendous devotion to St. Joseph. And that's when it starts to really take on more liturgical forms, solemnities, and special celebrations. It moves more into the devotional life of the church and religious orders and different prayers to St. Joseph. But then we have another firm point with Pius IX in 1870, when he declared St. Joseph the patron of the universal church. I mean, so that was huge. And every pope since him has done something significant with St. Joseph, written something, or and many times also introduced something liturgically, promulgated official prayers in the church. And so, you know, this time is not just sort of like popping out of nowhere like a volcano, but this time has really been the peak of something that's been building up for centuries. And then to look at the most recent history, I mean, John Paul II wrote the longest papal teaching on St. Joseph, the guardian of the Redeemer, Redemptoris Christus. And then Pope Benedict, after him, who was a Joseph, certainly wrote very beautifully about St. Joseph, a number of different things. And then we have Pope Francis, who actually has a symbol of St. Joseph in his coat of arms. He's inaugurated on the Solemnity of St. Joseph. Has taught quite a bit in Angelus addresses, homilies, and Wednesday audiences about St. Joseph. And then, he introduces this year of St. Joseph. So just to say, you know, there's a whole crescendo of devotion to St. Joseph that's been happening. And why does that increase in some intensity with the year of St. Joseph? I think the fatherlessness that you and Holly have pointed to is significant there. And I think also the family, you know, if you focus on Jesus and Mary, that's really important. And they have a unique relationship, and Mary has a unique position. She's kind of a lot of stuff. She's the first disciple and the most perfect disciple. She's the holiest woman. She's the Immaculate Conception. She's also the type and figure of the church. So she's the church's perfect center in heaven. So there's a way that she's the mother of Christ, but as the church, she's also the bride of Christ. And then she's the mother of all believers. And then she's a lot of stuff. So it took us a long time to kind of work through all of that and get that settled in some reasonable way. And then, but when we have Mary and Jesus, and we have a lot of images of them, very beautiful ones, that's not a family yet, right? When you add Joseph, then we get a picture of the family. It's like taking a step back and getting a picture of the whole family. And so I think also the importance of the family The complementarity of mother and father, of male and female, is so beautiful. And then to press into that a little bit more, one of the amazing things that God does is he allows his son, the incarnate word, when the son of God, the word of God, takes on flesh and becomes one of us, he gets formed like the rest of us do. So he doesn't just like kind of drop down fully formed, shrink-wrapped from heaven. He comes as a zygote and he needs to develop in his mother's womb. And then he needs to be born and he needs to be raised and he needs to be loved and he needs to be taught and formed and all of this human stuff that, you know, he has infused knowledge and divine knowledge as God, but he only gains experiential knowledge as a human being in his humanity. He grows in maturity and wisdom before God and men, as St. Luke records. So God creates this perfect pair in Mary and Joseph to form the humanity of the Word of God. So that's amazing that God honors our humanity that much that he really allows Jesus, because, you know, think if we all have traumas of different kinds, you know, like if the Word of God gets traumatized, that matters. I mean, that's then something gets formed in him that way. And our intuition is that the Son of God didn't get traumatized in his childhood, because he had perfect parents. He had this Mary and Joseph to raise him. And so God forms, in that we see that God is really reforming humanity from the position of the family. So the family becomes the kernel of the new creation. And it's only when we put St. Joseph back in the picture that we get to see that God has created the world through a family, and then he redeems the world through a family. And this is something that Leo XIII had already pointed out, and Paul VI and John Paul II and Pope Francis has referred to this as well. And it just gives us a fuller picture of God's plan of salvation, that he intends to do that by, first of all, purifying and perfecting, making a holy family. And we only get that when we bring St. Joseph into view. So I think fatherhood and also the family are key points for why St. Joseph is so important, especially in our time when we're losing those things.
So Adam and Holly, I'm really enjoying the conversation that we're having so far with Father Boniface Hicks. We're going to continue that discussion with him on the next episode of Redeemer. And if you are a regular listener of Redeemer, you might notice that things are a little bit different. In the past, we've podcasted every few weeks, and our schedule was not quite as regular as we liked. So to shake things up and to make our podcasting releases more regular and to bring you just even more amazing content, we're going to be recording full seasons of 12 to 15 episodes released every 2 weeks covering a particular theme or topic. And so kicking off the series, our first series, will really just be these conversations that we're going to have about St. Joseph. So you've just heard a little bit of the very first conversation with Father Boniface Hicks, and we're going to have several other conversations covering a wide variety of topics, all focused around St. Joseph. So we kind of had this idea in conversation a couple months ago that we were going to do this. And I don't know if Holly or Adam, if you want to add anything else to what I just said about that.
Well, I like the fact that we're trying to be transparent. We don't have people, right? We're it, right? It's not like we have people who do our scheduling, right? We do the scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. So, which means we have to work with our guests and line things up. And you're right, because we were dependent on their schedule, you know, we would record and then we would put an episode out right away because we were excited about it, but it was difficult to have consistency, right? And so we thought, well, let's try to record some in advance and then release them regularly, but then also have a theme. And in which case it made so much sense that our first theme would be the year of St. Joseph, in the year of St. Joseph. So we would have this podcast series on St. Joseph, and it is flowing naturally from our devotion to the Virgin Mary. We have this devotion to Mary. And of course, she would have been totally devoted to her husband. And so it is just been a natural extension for us to kind of embrace this year of St. Joseph and learning about St. Joseph and kind of getting excited about St. Joseph. Thank you, Pope Francis, for declaring this year, because it's motivated me, it's motivated us to really look at St. Joseph, I'll admit, well, I'm guilty of not really considering St. Joseph, not giving him his due. Of where he fit in the Holy Family and the role that he had in the Holy Family, and that's in spite of the fact that I had previously already read Guardian of the Redeemer, this beautiful document by JP2, Redemptoris Custos. So I already had some consideration of the role and the importance of Saint Joseph, but delving into it more this year has been really eye opening. And so we're excited to kind of share that and hopefully get other people excited about St. Joseph. And the timing's right here in this decreed year of St. Joseph. So we're recording these episodes. That way we can release them regularly and that they can be centered around a theme. I'm glad that we get to kind of tell people this is why we're doing what we're doing now.
And I think too, in terms of some of the prayer that went into us changing things up on Redeemer, is that we want this to be a resource that really helps people to understand what it looks like and how living a life of faith, how that is possible, what does it look like, and to talk to people from all different kinds of vocations and all different kinds of backgrounds to help to bring the faith to life to everyone in a new way. And I think too, I'm really excited about some of the conversations we've already had specifically about St. Joseph, but what we have planned for the future, because I really think that when we learn from one another, that we really become the body of Christ in a new way. And in a very real way, when we talk to people like Father Boniface, who is a monk in a monastery, right? He doesn't just stay in his monastery. He's out and he's teaching and speaking and doing lots of ministry. But then we'll have a conversation in a few weeks. We'll have a conversation with a husband and father and lay person, right? Who has beautiful things to say about the dignity of work and the dignity of being a man, right? And we're going to talk to a Dominican sister who teaches at an all-girls high school, who is one of the most brilliant women I have ever met in my life. But when we open ourselves up to have these kinds of conversations and relationships with people who live lives very differently on the outside, there's so much that we can learn from one another and that we can teach one another about what it looks like to live a life of faith. And I'm just really excited about where this is going. And I think that even just how it's challenging me to be able to put words to living my faith and what does that look like in a day-to-day way has really challenged me to grow in the way that I'm even approaching the little small details of my own life. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you've kind of already teased some of those conversations, but we're going to have episodes on St. Joseph as father and husband, teacher and mentor, as a worker, as a carpenter and protector. We're going to go into some miracles and stories of hope and healing. So it's going to be a great series. And I really like the approach that we're taking with series. We already have some ideas for future series. So if you're listening to the show and if you have some ideas, feel free to share them with us. But I also love the fact that we are including so many different types of people. I feel kind of like some of the feedback we got about the show before was that it really was geared primarily towards Marian servants. And yeah, this is the Marian Servant Community producing a Marian Servant podcast, but we want to open this up to be able to invite lots of different people to be able to participate. And not only introduce them to the Marian servants, but also to provide just good resources for them, regardless of their affiliation with any kind of institution or body or whatever it might be. So that was also one of our goals in doing this, to kind of open things up and from a perspective of topics and things like that. So it should be really cool. I'm really pumped about it. So.
And I think too, the exciting thing about Jesus is the same, or about Joseph, I mean, is the same thing that's exciting about Mary. They just point to their son, right? The whole goal of devotion to Mary, or devotion to Joseph, or to any saint, is really that we would be brought even more deeply into the mystery of the Trinity.
I'm going to bust in.
Right? Thanks for joining us this episode of Redeemer. Yeah, go ahead.
I intentionally wanted to bust in. I want you to keep that, like you were going to get started doing the outro, mainly because I really want the record to show that I think we made it through a whole episode without an eye roll.
I love Father Boniface Hicks.
So
one thing that's not changing on the show is the eye roll counter will continue to rack up numbers.
Well, I don't know about it. It's not going to rack up numbers if this episode's any indication, because I don't think we had a single eye roll. You might have to roll the tape back and look again. Oh, now she's rolling her eyes at me. All right, we got an eye roll. We got an eye roll, Javier.
I think what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to buy a bell. Right, and every time we get an hour, I'm just gonna ding it live during the show.
Right. So everybody at home can know. So now, go ahead.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of Redeemer. We'll be posting links to a ton of great references that you can use this year to deepen your understanding of the role of Saint Joseph in your life and to increase your devotion to him as we celebrate this very special year. You can find all that information at numinous.fm/Saint Joseph. That's numinous.fm/SAINT Joseph. So I want to thank you guys once again for this great episode. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, and just should be fun.
Thank you, Javier.
Thanks,
God bless
Javier.
You. And God bless all of you.